Thank you and good morning, everyone. So today I'm going to talk about the association between intimate partner violence against women and HIV risk behaviors and also STIs. So I'm just going to go over different continents now, from moving from Kenya, Rwanda, and towards Nepal. And I'll thank Dr. Michael Copenhaver, who is my advisor, for help coming up with this manuscript. And before I begin, I want to disclose that I have no financial relations to disclose with regards to this presentation. So today, over half of the 35 million people who are currently living with HIV/AIDS globally are women. And possibly most alarming of all is that young women between the ages of 15 and 24, usually in the sub-Saharan Africa, accounts for 75% of the total HIV infection. And Dr. Kibusha highlighted that situation in her presentation as well. And women's disproportionate vulnerability to HIV has been linked to different kinds of factors, such as underlying consequences of gender inequalities and also harmful gender norms that promote HIV risk behaviors and also reduce access to health services and information. And violence against women is one of the gross violations of human rights and encompasses various forms of violence that includes domestic violence, female genital mutilation, and other different forms. And however, for the purpose of this study, I'm just going to focus mainly on physical and sexual intimate partner violence and how that is related to HIV risk behaviors among currently married women in Nepal. So intimate partner violence is one of the leading public health issues globally, and it includes various forms of acts of physical aggression, psychological abuse, and also different coerced sexual intercourse and so on, and also includes controlling behaviors such as isolating a personal friend and family, restricting access to information and assistance. Although we all know that female can be violent in relationship with men, however, the overwhelming burden of our health burden of intimate partner violence is mostly borne by women at the hands of male partner. So this is a really nice diagram that I got from WHO and shows that one in every three women throughout the world will experience some form of physical and or sexual violence at the hands of their male partner. And you can see that the high prevalence of intimate partner violence can be seen mostly in the WHO African region, Eastern Mediterranean region, and also Southeast Asian regions, where 37.7% of women reported to have been physically or sexually abused by their husband. So intimate partner violence has been linked with various short-term and long-term health outcomes, including HIV/AIDS. And in the last decade, intimate partner violence has been shown to be an important contributor to women's vulnerability to HIV, and various forms of research have shown elevated HIV sexual risk behaviors among abused women and also their partners, and the risk could include inconsistent condom use, forced unprotected sex, multiple sex partners, and so on. And behavioral evidence have shown that the men who are involved in perpetrating these intimate partner violence are involved in various kind of risk-taking behaviors, such as visiting female sex workers, or having unprotected sex, inconsistent condom use, or also taking alcohol or other different forms of substance before having sexual intercourse. So that basically increases the transmission, the risk of HIV transmission from infected HIV a male partner to women, and because of the heightened possibility of physical injury during forced sexual intercourse to women. And also research have found that women who are constantly living under the fear of violence, or who are constantly being abused by their male partner, have limited control over the timing of sex or the circumstances when the sexual intercourse may take place. And also there's a compromised negotiation skills among these women, which basically increases their risk of being infected of HIV in the presence of infected male partner. And there has been increasing number of research that has shown that gender-based violence is one of the important determinants of various kind of isolation or depression, and that can in turn increase the risk-taking behaviors among women, which may include, and then that in turn may increase their risk of being infected with HIV. So as a growing number of evidence highlights the behavioral mechanism of how intimate partner violence results in increased HIV risk behavior in both developed and developing countries, however, such studies have not done in the context of Nepal. So this particular study, which was a secondary data analysis of Nepal Demographic Health Survey that was done in 2011, basically seeks to extend the prior findings from Nepal and elsewhere to looking at the prevalence rate of physical and sexual intimate partner violence among married women, and so looking at different determinants, risk factors for intimate partner violence, and also looking at potential association between IVP and different HIV risk behaviors or STI-related risk behaviors. So talking about the results really quickly, this is just so the descriptive characteristics of the participants. And since I was more interested in currently married women looking at the spousal violence at the hands of their male partner, I just included currently married women in my analysis. And there were 3,084 women that was included in the analysis. And you can see the mean age for those women was 31 years. And they were mostly from rural areas in the context of Nepal as well, 75%. And over 50% of the total women reported that they have some form of education, formal education I'll describe, and they were fairly evenly distributed among in the wealth index. You can see 20%, 17%, 19%. So this figure shows the form of different kind of physical or sexual violence experienced by the participant. And by looking at the figure, you can see that the prevalence of physical violence was found to be around 23%, which is really high. And the sexual violence prevalence was found to be 14%. And 28% of the total women who were sampled in this particular study reported some form of physical or sexual violence at the hand of their husband in their lifetime. So this table shows the relationship between socio-demographic variables and intimate partner violence, particularly physical violence and sexual violence. So when this intimate partner violence was looked at as an outcome variable in the logistic regression model, it was found that physical violence was significantly associated with lower educational status women and their husband as well, and also belonging to a poorer wealth index as compared to the richest one. And also women who reported that their husband has some kind of drinking habit was also significantly associated with physical violence. And on the other side, the sexual violence was associated with similarly educational status of women, educational disparity, a wealth index, and also drinking habit of their husband. And a couple of really interesting findings that came out of this study was that educational disparity, which was measured at differential educational outcome between male and the female. I didn't really see whether male was at the higher or female was at the higher. I just said there was a differential outcome, educational status, and that significantly predicted whether or not women will be sexually abused by their male partner. Whereas belonging to poor wealth index was found to be as a protective factor for sexual violence. Not quite sure how that came out to be, but I'm guessing that that there's some form of cultural context that may be playing certain role in that particular finding. And lastly, this table shows relationship between intimate partner violence and various form of STI and HIV related risk behaviors. And you can see from the physical violence column that women who reported being physically abused by their male partner were less likely to have heard about STI or HIV/AIDS. They had 1.74 times more likely to have had a history of sexually transmitted infections, 2.31 times more likely to have had multiple sex partner in the last year. And they're less likely to have consistently used condom, and also they're less likely to be able to ask their partner to use condom. So that just shows there's significantly less condom negotiation skills among these women. And on the sexual violence part, women who reported sexually abused by their partner were more likely, 1.52 times more likely to have had a history of STI. They are less likely to be able to refuse sex to their male partner if they didn't want to. And they're also less likely to be able to negotiate safer sex, basically condom negotiation skills with their husband. And all these rates were adjusted for age of the participant, their educational status, husband's educational status, and also how long they've been in the relationship, and also husband being, whether or not their husband were drunk or not. So basically, these findings, which basically contributes to the mounting evidence, even though the relationship between IBP and HIV risk behavior have been explored so many times in the last decade, they just show, you know, that particular relationship that does exist in Nepal, or one of the developing countries in Southeast Asian region. And this was, to our knowledge, the first study to look at the association between this particular public health issues, which is gender-based violence and HIV risk behavior, two different epidemic in that region. And one of the strengths, I would say, for this particular study was that since we used population-based data, which was one of the freely available data but has really good reliability in terms of data collection, it was found that does offer some form of empirical strength looking at the prevalence rate of physical or sexual violence, and also increases the ability to infer that finding to general population. And as it is clear that one in every three women are constantly being physically or sexually abused, not just among this sample but throughout the world, it is really important to just have some culturally sensitive or different form of specifically tailored intervention towards among these women to reduce IBP. Thus, we can reduce different form of negative health outcomes among this particular population. And that'll be it.